Cooper comes up, hits it.
Yeah!
Oh my God! What a goal! What a goal by Mick Fleming!
Bogleach.
There's the goal!
Richie!
Hello, I'm Mark Benstead, and this is the Official Scotland Podcast. This is episode 3 of the show that comes to you from within the Scotland camp. We are once again at the team hotel, Mar Hall, just west of Glasgow, and the focus today is all on Slovenia. Forget the Canada game, that no longer matters. It's all about what happens at Hampden on Sunday night. A win could reinvigorate Scotland's qualification campaign to make it to the World Cup in Russia in 2018. And my guests for this episode are once again Danny Cause of the Talking Boars podcast. He's a sucker for punishment. He can't stay away from us. Gordon Duncan of Clyde One's Super Scoreboard, and a man who has just hit 25 caps for his country, Ekechi Anya. Guys, thanks for joining us. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us in the build-up to this massive, massive game. Ekechi, let's start with you. First and foremost, reaching 25 caps. Let's start with that. How proud are you of that achievement?
Yeah, I think that's the right word you used there. Immensely proud. You know, I still remember getting my first call-up, being at Watford. Gianfranco Zola pulled me, said, you know, going striking's interested. Would you like to take his phone call? And, you know, obviously I was delighted. And then to be pulled up, obviously when you first get into the squad, you don't really have any expectations of playing. But, you know, I was fortunate enough to, I still remember, it was like yesterday, came on against Belgium. And then a couple of days later, you know, obviously I had my first start against Macedonia and managed to score. So, you know, from that sort of start in 2013 to the present day, you know, I just feel grateful and immensely proud to have reached 25. I never thought it'd happen.
How much do you enjoy being part of this squad? It seems to come across in your face whenever you speak about playing for Scotland, about being part of the group, that it's something that means a lot to you. But what is it like when you get the phone call to know you're back in the group again?
Yeah, you know, obviously it's massive, and particularly for myself and some other players, you know. The gaffer's been quite low with a few of us, you know. Some of us aren't playing so often for our club teams. So, you know, for us to have that sort of unconditional, you know, support from the gaffer that he gives us, keeps you motivated during the season, you know, when you're not playing. Myself personally, when I don't play, I'm always having fights with our sports coach, because I'm always wanting to do more after, because although it doesn't replicate the being in match form, you need to do what you can to try and keep fit, especially when it comes to the international games, because, you know, you want to do what you can to try and help out the team.
Okay, it goes without saying, it's a huge weekend for Scotland coming up. Massive game on Sunday. We talk about the Group F table, and Gordon, at the moment it doesn't perhaps make pleasant reading, with Scotland finding themselves just above bottom place Malta at the moment, only 4 points on the board. But are we guilty a little bit sometimes of getting too carried away? We're only 4 games into our qualification campaign. Sometimes we read too much into things and hit the panic button too soon.
Yeah, I think it's only fair to acknowledge that it certainly doesn't look good at the moment when you see the points total of 4, and you see teams like Lithuania above you and Slovenia already more than one victory away from you, so to speak. You know, people are bound to get a bit disappointed, but we listen to guys like Ekechi and players at all levels and all clubs week in, week out, telling us how important, you know, momentum and confidence is, and those things can shift very, very quickly. That's not a lie that these guys tell, I don't think. So a win on Sunday, up to 7 points, all of a sudden there's a feel-good factor again. We know that fixtures that are around the corner are going to get everyone excited anyway. And I think by getting those 3 points, everyone will be flying again, and things can turn around very quickly.
Yeah, and Danny, if you're looking for kind of signs of positivity, you know, Scotland are home to both Slovenia and Slovakia before the end of the campaign. Slovenia and Slovakia both need to go away to England, which is, you know, playing devil's advocate, probably the toughest game in the group. Scotland have got that out of the way already. So there are reasons to look ahead and think, well, maybe the landscape could change given time.
Absolutely. The other thing as well is that 4 of the last 5 games are at home. And I know we kind of said before the podcast, I think Scotland, regardless of form, regardless of what's gone before, Scotland at home against anyone is a prospect that any team won't relish, even England, particularly England, in fact. I don't think we can really look much further than Sunday. I think we have to get the win on Sunday. I'm confident we will. And once we do it, I think, as Gordon quite rightly hits the nail on the head, like, Ketch will know a bit better than all of us, but that can change the whole momentum. That can change the whole mindset, really. And you know, hopefully springboards into the game in June.
Scotland have won 4 of the last 10 home qualifiers, albeit a couple of those were away from Hampden because of the Commonwealth Games. Why do you think Danny, that Hampden hasn't quite been the fortress it once was? Because it was a time when that was the place where Scotland would pin getting the points on.
I know, you know, I was thinking about this recently, and it's hard to put your finger on. It's really tough. I mean, even think back to the Ireland game in the last that was at Parkhead. So, I don't know. It's tough to put your finger on. But I've no doubt, I've been to Hampden recently for games, and it still can be an intimidating atmosphere for travelling teams. And Slovenia, they'll have a lot of good operators. They're a good team, but they're by no means world beaters. You know, we should be going to Hampden with the crowd behind us, and we should be looking to get the win.
Yeah. Ketch, in terms of Hampden and playing there and the feel of walking out at the stadium, being part of that kind of atmosphere, can it be something that the players can use as an advantage if the crowd are behind them and giving them that kind of extra support?
Yeah, definitely so. You know, I think our fans, you know, are amazing, especially, you know, for me personally, you know, Hampden will always be special to me because that was where I had my debut, you know, so that's good. I think if we get the crowd, you know, jumping, making lots of noise, we can sort of intimidate Slovenia, and, you know, with the crowd on our side, that's like a 12th man, and you know, we can play aggressively, we can attack from the start, and, you know, hopefully put in a very good performance.
Yeah, that's going to be crucial, isn't it, that home form, and making that run of games that looks like an advantage on paper, an advantage in reality, Gordon?
Yeah, absolutely. I think particularly the Lithuania game was, you know, the real disappointment. You talk about that record at Hampden, you can look into that and say, well, you know, Germany are probably in the last 10 home qualifiers, Poland as well, on a night where we actually did quite well and it all fell apart elsewhere. It wouldn't even have really mattered what happened at Hampden that night. But I think in terms of getting a fast start in the game's key as well, when you're playing at home, we already know that the crowd are bound to be a little bit nervous about the way things are going. And if you get off to a bad start, then of course that can weigh heavily on you. Flip that on its head, look for the positives. You start quickly, the crowd gets up, all of a sudden everyone believes in what you're doing, everyone believes we can go on and win the game, and then I think that's when you can really make your advantage count.
Yeah, that's something that Russell Martin spoke about when he spoke to the media in the build-up to this game. Here's what the Norwich defender had to say.
I think we just didn't start the game as well as we would have liked, and I think that was his most important thing, that after that we couldn't really get going, couldn't really get into a groove as a team and set the tempo as we wanted to. Like I said, we'll work on that going ahead to Sunday. We're confident. We're confident going ahead to Sunday. We need a result in the group. You know, there's no denying that. We need a result. It's as simple as that. And come out here and say, we need to play positive football and stuff like that. We need to go and win a game on Sunday if we can. And we need everyone pulling together to do that. And everyone's confident in the work that we're doing this week to go and get results. It's as simple as that. We have to be. Otherwise, you know, if you don't go in with a confident mindset, you're going to struggle.
I suppose it's a $60 million question, but try and put your finger on why things have slightly gone on a downturn.
The disappointment of not qualifying when we played so well for the majority of the campaign, and one result probably cost us, really. I think that's disappointing for people, and that's tough to take, and we maybe haven't quite got over that quickly enough. But I don't think performances haven't been terrible. We've been one or two passes away where it was clicking before, and then early on in the last campaign, it was clicking and going, just been a fraction off that. But listen, the most important thing is, regardless of what's gone on in the last three or four games in this campaign, if we win on Sunday, we're right back in the mix, and we've got a right chance of moving on up the group and qualifying.
Yeah, Russell Martin there speaking in the build-up to this game with Slovenia on Sunday. He covered a various selection of things there, but he started talking about the slow start against Canada, and that's something that's perhaps been a little bit of a theme of late. Ikechi, how do the team go about kind of avoiding that and starting on the front foot on Sunday and starting with that kind of tempo and kind of take the game away from them?
No, you know, obviously, you know, as Russell said, you know, we need a result. So, you know, I think the gaffer's going to prepare us, set up a team, you know, that's going to be more attack-minded, you know, be more aggressive. And I think that's the key to it. Like you said earlier, if we get a fast start, the crowd are going to be chanting for us, you know, be excited, and, you know, we can get the first goal early doors. You know, I think Slovenia are going to be taken back a bit, and we can use that definitely to our advantage.
It's interesting in the build-up to this game, Gordon, I noticed that Gordon Strachan sort of accepted that it was a must-win fixture. I don't know about you, but in all my dealings with him at club or country, whenever he's been asked if this is a must-win game, he's never said that before. He's always dodged around it. He's always kind of avoided the question or moved it on. But this time he said, yeah, you know, it's a must-win game. Why do you think he's done that in this instance?
That is always an interesting, you know, dynamic we have to work with in the press. You're asking managers all the time, is this a must-win game? And rarely do they admit that it is a must-win game. I think the harsh reality is, because we are where we are and it's got to that stage, there's a serious level of apathy built up from not so much the failure to qualify, but that was obviously a huge factor. Then what's happened since, I don't like to use the word, but a bit of negativity around the way results have been at the start of this campaign. Even the friendly the other night, you don't want to read too much into it, but it just didn't help matters. And I just think, because it's undeniable now that it's must win. And also then, Gordon's been in the game a long time. He'll be looking at that and perhaps using it as a motivating tool for the guys and letting them know that it's a must-win game. If he says it publicly, then there's no doubt about it. We know he might say different things in the dressing room, but I'm sure on this occasion he'll be telling us it's must-win, and he'll be telling the players that as well.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge match on Sunday. Interesting with Slovenia, they don't score a lot of goals. Looking at the recent games, I think the last six games, they've never scored more than one goal, except in one game. That was against Lithuania. It took a 93rd minute equaliser by their captain, Cesar. So they don't score a lot. They don't give a lot away, though. So they're very tight at the back. And they managed to take 4 points from their games against England and Slovakia. So that kind of focuses things, doesn't it, Ketch, how crucial this game could be? Because if you could take 3 points off them, then it does kind of rebalance things out a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said there, they don't give too much away, but they don't, by the sounds of it, they don't create too much either. So the onus is on us. We're at home, we're going to have to, that's why I think it's going to be mightily important that we get the first goal early doors, because then that might have to affect their game plan, because they're going to have to maybe open up a bit. And then that's when the likes of, well, we don't know the team yet, but we've got good individual, we've got good players who can beat players one-on-one. That's when they'll get more space to, exploit their fullbacks or, if the centre backs get drawn out. So, I think, like you say, if we can just get that first goal, the crowd, everything will be in our favour.
Yeah, looking through the squad, there aren't a host of standout names. I think Josef Iličić of Fiorentina is probably the main man. He's sort of an attacking midfielder, a forward player, quite a good sort of 10 goals a season level at club level, but not prolific internationally. Beyond that, there's not a lot of goals in the side, which I guess on the one hand, Gordon suggests that they're not going to threaten too much, but also the game is built on being solid at the back and having a very good goalkeeper as well.
Well, absolutely. I was just going to say, I often get nightmares when you're coming up against a team that arguably their best player is their goalkeeper. Jan Oblak's been outstanding for Atletico Madrid. We saw in the Champions League last week, he became a bit of an internet sensation, an outrageous double save that he pulled off. So you're just hoping it's not going to be one of those nights where Scotland are on top and creating, and this guy's having, the game of his life. So they certainly build from the back. He's there as a, the last line of defence, then the guys in front of him. So it's going to be, perhaps then we speak about a fast start, but perhaps it could be a night for patience, knowing that these guys are going to be difficult to break down, and we just have to keep everything crossed that Scotland can do it.
Yeah, but we know, Danny, that they're a good side. They made it to the playoffs for the Euros, lost to Ukraine in both legs of that playoff tie. They've done well in the previous campaigns and come close as well. They made it, the World Cup 2010. They finished third in that group behind the USA and England in that instance. So there's a little bit of pedigree for what is a relatively small country and a small pool of players.
Definitely. You touched upon it earlier. They've given, we've seen firsthand how they've given England in the last couple of campaigns some really tough games. So look, we're under no illusions. It will be a tough game, one of the toughest games in the group. But at home in particular, I know we have to win it, but you would want to win it anyway. You'd want to go in thinking, look, this is a game we should be winning, really. And to be honest, I'm actually quite confident. I know Gordon's quite right saying that there's been a, friendly the other night to start with, but there's been a few results that don't, get you going. But I'm really confident going into the game. I think, look at our squad, it's really healthy, particularly in midfield. And look, I think we'll get the result.
Ketch, give us a bit of insight then in terms of the preparation from this point in for a game. So you'll get into a qualifier, you've had the friendly game out of the way, but a qualifier coming up. At what point do you start to hone things down, start to focus on the details of the opposition per se? Is that done the day before the game, or is it done in the few days beforehand? When does that process kind of focus in?
I think it's as soon as your last game is done, So obviously, like you say, you take a game at a time. So our focus was on Canada, and now that Canada's done, as soon as the whistle went from the Canada game, we're thinking about this game. So that starts from your recovery, and then we'll talk to the sports analysts who see the Slovenia game, will give us all the details, and you can get all the details that you want. They'll tell you if your opponent's right-footed, left-footed, every little thing that you could possibly do to get the few percentages of winning. And then a couple of days before the game, you'll start thinking about your team shape and what you want to try and achieve in the game. And from then on, you try and just be as sharp training-wise and get ready for the game.
It's brilliant, the level of detail in football these days. It's incredible. It's moved on leaps and bounds, even in my time in the sport. In terms of from you personally, how much information do you like? Do you like to go and know what foot they are, how often they like to cut back if you're up against someone, or do you not like to be overloaded by too much information?
Yeah, I think it works. It works. Everybody's different. Some people like to know that information, some people don't. Personally, I do, because, you know, it gives you sort of a... you know, gives you sort of an upper hand, you know, if they, especially sometimes if myself, I'm playing in defence, if you know that your guy's predominantly one-footed, you know, and he only uses his other foot to stand on, you know, that's going to make your life a little bit easier. So, you know, every little bit of information, I think, can help. So personally for me, it's welcomed on board.
Yeah, it sounds like you've seen me play. in terms of your involvement in the squad, do you accept that you're kind of almost like one of the kind of fan favourites a little bit, that the supporters seem to have really taken to you since you became part of the group, and when you play, it tends to lift everyone. Are you aware of that kind of popularity, for want of a better word, amongst the fans?
No, you know, I think personally I have a good relationship with the fans, but I think they're just seeing me, you know, a hard worker. You know, I'm not the most talented, I'm not the most anything, you know, but, you know, I work hard, I put the team before myself. And I think if you do that, you know, the fans are going to like you. If you give 110% on the pitch, I think the majority of fans can live with maybe not being the most talented. But if you put a shift in, if you do the hard work, I think they can relate to that, you know. And I think that's just every time I put on a Scotland jersey or club level, you know, I try my best. Sometimes it's good enough, sometimes it's not. But, you know, at the end of the day, I can look at myself and be, okay, you gave your best. This is what happened. So, you know. Like that, I think they can relate to me, I can relate to them, so I think, yeah, I've got a good relationship with them.
Akechi, a man who approaches it with a great attitude, and he's got that enthusiasm, but also a man, we'll speak about him because he's here, who impressed in midweek and staked a claim in that performance against Canada.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Gordon Strachan's comments were quite telling after the game, where he said that the game was a worthwhile exercise and it had cleared a few things up. That probably means that some players played their way in and some players played their way out of their selection for Sunday. Akechi clearly did his chances no harm at all. He went home with the champagne, I believe, so that's always good. hasn't opened it yet, which is encouraging ahead of a big game.
It's under the table now.
Because listen, at any level of football, I think, but particularly international football, you're looking for pace. It's just so important. Some guys are blessed with it, some guys aren't, and you're trying to look at everyone's strengths and fit them in. So naturally that gives Akechi a great advantage over, you know, some of his teammates, that he's very quick, and we saw that you know, the other night. And if perhaps, you know, if the wider players further up the field aren't firing, it allows you to play with a narrower midfield and allow these guys to bomb on as well. So I think I'd be amazed if he doesn't play on Sunday, and a lot of that is not only to do with the performances he's put in the past, but again on Wednesday at Easter Road.
Yeah, and the theme that's been consistent all through this week, Danny, is the idea of playing players who are in good form, who are feeling good about themselves. It's something Mark McGee spoke about this week. It's something Gordon Strachan spoke about. And that kind of brings us on to that kind of Celtic group of guys who are all playing so well at club level. There's an argument there that Stuart Armstrong might get his go. James Forrest might be included. Obviously, Scott Brown, we expect, will play. And they bring something, don't they?
I think pretty much every Celtic player in the squad has got a really good claim to play. We after on the last podcast spoke about the Canada result and were a little bit down. We, you know, wanted to obviously beat Canada, but then you can't read so much into that, because it's almost half a team really when the Celtic boys come in, and if you know, four or five of them play, it changes the entire dynamic. And obviously you'll know better than us, Akechi, but the mood in the dressing room will just change. That Celtic are completely flying, and I don't know if that spreads throughout the dressing room or...
No, definitely. You know, you can see the guys met up with us on... We met up on Sunday, they came Monday because I think they had a game. And you could just see, you know, obviously they're buzzing. Like you saw Russell Martin talk about, you know, they're just exuding confidence, and hopefully they can spread that. Whichever ones be picked, whether it be some of them, all of them, none of them, they can spread that amongst the team.
Yeah, as Gordon touched on at the top of the podcast, you know, momentum is a big thing, confidence is a big thing in football. do you get a sense that it can kind of rub off on people? You know, if there's a group who come in and they're kind of in their stride, kind of strutting around, confident in themselves, does that lift everyone around?
Yeah, definitely. It makes you raise your game. You know, if you see somebody playing out of their skin, it's just natural for you to think, hey, I should be doing that as well, you know? So, you know, I think Brownie's got that anyway, whether Celtic would have been won the league by now. But, you know, it's just gonna be a beneficial for the whole team.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about Scott Brown. Would he be involved in these games? Wouldn't he, after the kind of stepping back from the national team for a period? What does he bring? He's here now. He's part of the group. You've been part of the dressing room with him. What is it that he brings to the group that perhaps nobody else in that squad has?
You know, Brownie's Mr. Scotland. You know. You know, he's the nicest guy off the pitch, but on the pitch he'll make sure that you're doing your bit. You know, he won't take any slackers, and you know he always leads by example. You know, he will never ask of you what he doesn't expect of himself, which is only fair. You know, so you know when you've got that sort of mentality and that sort of determination to try and succeed, because obviously Brownie wants to go back to a major tournament. You know, and he spread that motivation to all of us new guys. And he just brings a whole lot, and it's a good thing for Scotland that he decided to come back.
What's he like in the immediate moments before a game like the one that's coming up on Sunday? Is he in people's faces, or is it just the kind of game face, or how does he do it?
Nah, you know, he's focused. He's 100% focused. He wants to win. Whether it's this big game or it's a training game, you know, he wants to win. He doesn't accept anything less. And that's how it should be, you know. And he's going to make sure that all of us are riled up for this game. And even the ones that aren't playing, you know, he's always making sure that they're ready, because their chance could come, you know, any second of the game. It could be an injury, it could be a tactical change. So, you know, he's got all the squad ready for the game.
Different types of leaders within the group. You've got Scott. You've also got Darren Fletcher, of course. How do they contrast? What's Darren's approach when he's trying to get the guys up for a match like this?
I think they've got similar tendencies. You know, I think Fletch might be a bit more. What's the word? I don't know. maybe a bit more composed. You know, you see that's the sort of the way he plays. You know, he doesn't panic. He doesn't make you feel nervous. You know, I think if they were managers, I think Fletch would be more of a manager to be like, you know, give you a cuddle and make sure that you're playing well that way. I think Brownie would be more to get in your face. So, you know, they've both got amazing attributes, and you know, like you said earlier, we've got very good midfield, and you know, these are just two of the players that we're lucky to have.
Yeah, that's going to be the big dilemma when it comes to trying to pick teams, I think, for you guys before we wrap things up today, in terms of the options in the centre of the park. We've touched on it this week through the course of the shows. Stuart Armstrong is the perhaps kind of maverick quantity, or maverick, what's the word I'm looking for? Maverick element coming into this game. He's played so well for Celtic this season. He's been so impressive. There is a big question. Could he be thrown into a game like this and say, you know what, just carry on doing what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's 12 goals, isn't it, for Celtic this season. Many of them from a deeper position as well, because remember, he was playing deeper when Tom Rogic was ahead of him in the team. So he's been outstanding. And it's funny that, because like you said, this guy doesn't even have a Scotland cap yet. And I think, speaking to a lot of certainly Scotland fans, and maybe Gordon Strachan's got different ideas, but everyone actually expects him to come straight in and play from the start. So there's a lot of expectation on him, I guess that brings its own pressure. But it's a nice pressure. It's a nice problem to have. He's been building up to this for a long time. I know he's had to pull out of squads in the past. And again, hark back to what we're talking about, confidence and all the rest of it. I think the beauty of international football is it's a real mixed bag, because some guys who are maybe in relegation battles come here and it's a release for them. You know, it's a nice break from club football and they can go and express themselves. On the flip side of that, the Celtic players, Stuart Armstrong in particular, they're winning every week. They've got that winning mentality. They've got the bit between their teeth. They're absolutely flying. And I would actually be quite surprised now if he didn't come straight into the team, which is quite something to come straight in and make your debut in what we've already discussed is a must-win game. But it's a testament to the way he's played. He's been fantastic.
Yeah, that's probably testament to just exactly how well he has been playing. And he's managed to convince everyone that he could come in. And people are having kind of umming and ahhing about it. Most people are, to a man or to a woman, saying, yeah, play him. Give him a go.
Definitely. I've I think if you polled 9 out of 10 fans or whatever, they would want him in. I think I'm obviously no football coach, as my people, my Sunday league team will testify. But if a guy like Stuart Armstrong, everything he touches at the moment turns to gold. You know, even the last game against Dundee, he's scoring, you know, flick-on headers. You know, it just can't do any wrong at the minute. If you've got a player like that, I would imagine as a manager, you try and get him in at all costs. But having said that, you know, the competition is fierce in midfield. Personally, I would have him in. We'll come to that, obviously. But it's tough for the manager, it really is.
Okay, well, is Slovenia at Hampden on Sunday? The challenge is there for the boys. It is a must-win game. The manager said it's a must-win game. Slovenia have impressed, I said before, 4 points from their games against Slovakia and England, but they draw in the last couple of friendlies. They had a 0-0 draw against Saudi Arabia, a 1-1 draw with Poland. They don't score a lot of goals. This is an opportunity for Scotland to kind of reclaim some ground within the group, to reclaim or start with a bit of momentum, build some momentum. How do they go about it? That's the question now for the podcast. I don't know which one of you boys wants to go first with showing their hand on the team. This is the great bit where we check to make sure you both put Akechi in the team you play.
No pressure,
Sunday.
No pressure.
You'll walk out if you haven't. Gordon Kwan, give us the team you would go for this game. A massive must-win game, Hampden, Sunday evening, under the lights, great occasion. Who can handle it?
That's a tough question. Now, I think there are a couple of positions where I would be quite content to play a number of guys, and we know that goalkeeper is probably one of them. Alan McGregor has played well at club level and he played well again the other night. I would probably just give the nod to Craig Gordon. And can I really justify that? No, not really, because they're both excellent goalkeepers. They've both shown that in the past. They've both shown it at club level and they've both shown it at international level. So we'll get Craig Gordon in and we'll get out of the way. Actually, I'm relatively comfortable with the rest of the back four. I think it's an easy enough decision. I think Akechi, and I'm not just saying that because he's sitting there, has done well in the past and did well the other night, so in at right back for him. Centre back, let's not beat around the bush, it's an issue, a position, should I say, where the fans certainly have much debate and don't feel that we're blessed with great strength. That's just where we are. I like Russell Martin, and probably alongside Charlie Mulgrew. It's good to see him back playing. You know, he's been a man of many positions in the past, but he's been playing for Blackburn, so Russell Martin and Charlie Mulgrew. And again, what a lovely problem to have at left back. An honourable mention to Lee Wallace for the way he performed at Wembley, because I thought he was excellent. Perhaps a more difficult game the other night, and out of the other two, I mean, what a nice choice to have. I think Kieran Tierney edges it for me for a couple of reasons. I think he'll put absolutely everything on the line to defend, as well as being a good threat going forward, and he's also got that whole confidence and winning mentality thing the Celtic boys have. So Kieran Tierney in a left back. Hopefully I'm not rabbiting on too much about these. I'm trying to justify them in my own head.
I like the fact you're holding it off till you get to the difficult part now, because there's so many players in the middle of the park to try and fit in.
And that's the thing. I think not only are there so many, there are all so many of a similar ability, but all with very different strengths. I think you could probably ask 10 people and they'll come up with 10 different midfields, and Gordon Strachan will have his own ideas in this. This is really, really difficult. So I'll just put my neck on the line. I'll go for Scott Brown in there. He's going to have the captain's armband on, because perhaps most controversial call, that means no place for Darren Fletcher, which I feel a bit dirty saying that. I mean, a guy who's
big call.
I know, a guy who's achieved what he's achieved at club level and played the number of times he has for Scotland. I'm not entirely sure why, but there's just something that feels right about Scott Brown being in there. And actually, I like James Morrison. I think we perhaps forget, because he had the spell out of the team due to injury, not too many bad games with a Scotland shirt on. James Morrison, he's actually been very consistent. And when you listen, the result at Wembley really overshadowed everything, but if you were to analyse the game, I actually thought he did quite well at keeping the ball. So holding midfielders Scott Brown and James Morrison in front of that. Centrally, we'd go for Stuart Armstrong. We've covered that, don't need to say too much more. Man in form, scoring goals, dynamic, quick, got everything going on at the moment. Either side of him, very tough as well. I would like to have a bit more pace in the team. I would like Oliver Burke to be in good enough form to play him. I don't think he is. I'm also not 100% sure about James Forrest, so I'd go Matt Ritchie, because he's having a phenomenal season with Newcastle. We've seen what his, you know, set piece deliveries like, his threat from even shooting from range, which might come into play as well. So he's got to be one. And the other man in there is Robert Snodgrass for me. I will admit that I don't think, in fact, he would admit himself that he hasn't hit the heights that he would have wanted to since his move to West Ham, and perhaps in his last few games in a Scotland jersey. But I just think he's one of our better players, as simple as that. So he goes in, and my goodness, the striker, the ball, I would love to be struggling to choose between them all because they're all banging form and they're all banging in goals. Perhaps that's not quite been the case. A few months ago, I think Lee Griffiths would have been nailed on, but now he's sitting on the bench all the time. Stephen Fletcher's played a lot, but now he's been kept out of the Sheffield Wednesday team by Jordan Rhodes. And I think Chris Martin, unfortunately, played himself out of contention the other night. So, Jordan Rhodes, the man for me.
Okay, some big calls in there. The ones talk, the Darren Fletcher exclusion for this game, is this, that's in your eyes, for this particular game in these particular circumstances, to get those kind of forward players in, is that the kind of idea? Or to get James Morrison as well in that kind of deeper role?
It's not so much a slight on Darren Fletcher as it is an attempt to reward the other guys round about him. Like I say, there are so many, they can't all fit in. So I don't particularly think that Darren Fletcher's done anything to warrant being dropped as such. I would just prefer to see, if you're talking centrally, I want to see Scott Brown, I want to see James Morrison, and I want to see Stuart Armstrong, so something has to give.
On James Morrison, as you touched upon to a point, did we kind of forget there was a stage when he was actually probably one of Scotland's better players? He was actually one of the more dominant figures in a run of games. Then he obviously had injury problems, he missed out on a few games and struggled to get it back, but there was a spell where he was one of the first names on the team sheet.
I think we do forget, and perhaps the reason for that is because he missed the start of the last campaign, which coincided with us actually getting some good results and playing well, so it was almost out of sight, out of mind, and perhaps we didn't need him sort of thing, but speaks volumes for him that he was played at Wembley. He's been a consistent performer in the Premier League for a number. I think he is pretty much, he must be right up there with West Brom's sort of record appearance holders in the Premier League out of their current batch of players. So he's got a lot going for him, and I fancy his chances in there.
Part of a West Brom side that's eighth in the Premier League just now.
Yeah.
As is Darren Fletcher. get your team just a second, but Ketch, just in terms of when players listen to people talk about selections and the arguments.
We know nothing compared to these guys.
I really enjoyed it.
But do you as players sometimes kind of sit and think, I wonder what the best team could be, or I wonder, because you must look at the squad, particularly in that midfield area, and look at the guys and think, there's a lot of good guys there. Who gets left out? And do you kind of weigh it up as players and talk about it sometimes, or think about it privately?
No, personally, I don't. I think that's the manager's decision, and whatever he chooses, I'm always going to respect it. But it was. I really enjoyed the analysis. You got a big thing.
It actually sounds quite sincere.
Oh, these are my favourite players, they've done this, they've done that. There's a lot of thought into it. You thought about how good they are individually, what type of form they're in, what they bring to the team. So, it was good. It was quite insightful for me to see that, because normally it's just, he's not, can I say crap?
He's not very good.
He hasn't been very good, blah, 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 But it's good, because not only that, you thought of, many, many, many things. So, I think that was very good.
Daniel, okay, we'll get your team now. You have had big build up from Gunny. He set the bar high now, is how he's delivered that.
Him. Yeah. Why? Because I want to.
Exactly.
I do feel guilty about not mentioning Tom Kearney, by the way, because he
too
was
late.
Nah.
I've let that one
slip. Similar to Gordon, I would go with Craig Gordon in goals. I think he's had a really strong season. We've talked about the Celtic factor. And I think, at the age of 34 now, he's actually developed as a keeper this season under Brendan Rodgers. I'd feel safest with him. I think we've got the same back four, actually. Ketchani obviously is captain at right back.
Penalty taker.
Exactly. Ketchani at right back. I thought, obviously, played your way into contention the other night, and don't have, there's no out and out right backs, so it's a kind of no brainer. Two centre halves, exact same as Gordon, Charlie McGrew and Russell Martin. Charlie McGrew, actually, I think, brings another dimension. He's a good ball player, I mentioned the other day, remember when he was at Celtic, he always had the knack of coming up with a goal at set pieces, so I think that's a good thing to have in the team.
He wasn't afraid to take possession on a poor pitch Wednesday as well. He was taking the ball a few times under pressure, and he
was actually one of the standouts, I thought. One of the plus points.
Aye, definitely. And left back as well. I feel really bad picking Kieran Tierney, because I think he's been outstanding, and I think he just nudges ahead of Andrew Robertson, but Robertson's never let Scotland down. Even when he came on the other night, I thought he really stood out, and It's really tough, but I would go with Tierney. The two holding midfielders, I would go for Scott Brown again, speaks for himself, one of the players of the year in Scotland, and I would actually go for Dan Fletcher.
I'm glad you did. I makes me feel a bit better.
I actually thought against Canada he was he played really well against Canada. It could have easily been a game where he was left out and he didn't really need to play, but I thought he played really well. I think the two of them together, their experience, their know-how of playing in games like these, kind of stand us in good stead. The three behind the striker is where it gets really tough. I mean, I've got a three in mind, but you could easily swap all of them. Stuart Armstrong, we've mentioned, the kind of X factor at the minute. You would fancy him to get a goal at any point, just now, every game he plays. I would go personally with Robert Snodgrass on the right. I think Gordon hits the nail on the head when he says that he maybe owes his performance a little bit. He's not played brilliantly in the last few games, but technically he's arguably our best player. So I would back him on the big stage to come up the goods. And then on the left, if he's fit, and I realise it's a big if, but I would throw Ryan Fraser in. A bit like yourself, Ketch, he's blessed with blistering pace. And this season in the Premier League, he has terrorised teams. I mean, we talked about it in the other podcast. Not just any team, Arsenal, Liverpool. So I would throw him in, and I don't think he'd be comfortable for Slovenia. The striker, really tough one. I would go with Lee Griffiths. I don't think it will be Lee Griffiths. I think it will probably be Stephen Fletcher or Chris Martin. Gordon's quite right again when he says he's been on the bench and that. You know, even the other night, I thought his touch was a wee bit off, and that's to be expected. But I would go with him. I think he gives them another problem. Rather than holding the ball up, he's going to want to run in behind. He'll pull defenders about. He'll create gaps. And he can score a goal.
But I suppose the thing about modern football, it's not just about the 11 who start. Sometimes some can come on and change a game, and there are options.
Ryan Fraser could be excellent for that as well. Lee Griffiths, I think that's perhaps when you then have to change the game plan. That's when I can see that happening, because if defenders are getting tired, the last thing you're going to want is Lee Griffiths over your shoulder. You can't keep a track of where he is. He'll be running in behind. Ryan Fraser running at you as well. So it's an option. It's a nice option to have. We touched on Oliver Burke. I don't think we can discard a guy like that because he had a tough night against Canada. If he's on his game, he's almost unplayable at times. Just isn't happening often enough for him at the moment. But yeah, nice problem to have.
Right. Okay, I'm going to wrap things up then. Now the boys have given us their teams. Credit to both of you for putting your necks on the block there, especially with
he did well. Pressure. He didn't have pressure.
Exactly.
He set the bar high initially.
Valiant effort. It was. And well thought out arguments. And I think also it underlines that there are options there. You know, there's been a bit of doom and gloom because of the way things have gone in terms of the position in the group and the table. It doesn't look good. But actually, when you dig a little bit deeper, there is potential there for things to improve, and also the squad there has got good guys and who can potentially deliver on Sunday. Just to wrap things up then, Gordon, what do you think is crucial to a good Scotland result at Hampden?
A quick start, or a solid start, should I say. I don't think we have to go 1-0 up within 5 minutes, but a solid start to get the players believing in themselves and the fans believing in the players. Football, in many ways, we try and complicate it. That's probably what this is all about, us. But it comes down to some really simple things, and I'm going to really state the obvious here. We need to defend better than we have been and keep the ball out of the net, and we need to do better at the other end. I mean, I appreciate that as simple as it comes, but it would be nice to feel solid at the back. I think that's something that's been missing for a long, long time. So if I had to pick two aspects that need to be in place, it's a quick start and a foundation at the back that we can build on that will let everyone sort of breathe easily as the game goes on.
Okay. And Danny, what would you add to that ahead of Sunday? What would you like to see from the game, aside from obviously ultimately a Scotland victory?
And then a Kitchianya winner.
I would love to see just a brave performance, going out and putting everything on the line, leaving it all out there. If they play to their potential and we play to our potential, I'm very confident that it's us that come out on top. If we come away and we know that we couldn't have done any more, that's all you can ask, and a clean sheet would be lovely.
Okay, Ketch, I'll give you the final say. Then what's your rallying call then to the fans who are coming? And some will be coming with a little bit of, oh, I'm going to come along and see what happens. They've perhaps not got that kind of spring in their step they've had ahead of some of the games. What do you say to them to convince them that Sunday could be one of those good days, those special nights that could kickstart everything?
Yeah, you know, obviously we want as many fans there as possible, but I think you just need to remember, you know, some of the better performance we've done. You know, I still remember the feeling, you know, when Sean scored against Ireland, you know, and everybody, and we left that game and everybody was, you know, that's what football was about, you know. So if we can have that sort of same level of support, you know, we're going to give everything on the pitch. And like Russell said, and I've said a few times, you know, I'm very confident that we can have a good Sunday night.
See, that man's enthusiasm is what is needed ahead of a game like this. That is infectious stuff. And guys, thanks for your time. Katie, really appreciate you taking the time to join us. And a bit of information once again ahead of Sunday's game. If you're planning on attending to support the boys, the Scottish FA have laid on free bus travel to and from Hampden from Buchanan bus station. Buses will run from Buchanan Street bus station to Comunnock Road near King's Park from 4 p.m. to 6:50 pre-match and from 9:50 to 10:30 post-match. Tickets are first come, first served basis. That's it for this episode. All eyes now on Sunday and Slovenia. Enjoy the game. Let's hope Scotland can do the business and get a crucial 3 points. Remember, you'll be able to get reaction to events at Hampden on the Scottish FA website and via the Scottish FA's various social media platforms. For now, though, from all of us, goodbye.
Cooper comes up, hits it.
Yeah!
Oh, my God! What a goal! What a goal by Mick Fleming!
Go, Gleach. There's the goal!